Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Osisko Gold Royalties Q2 2020 results conference call. After the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please pick up your receiver and press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this call is being recorded today, August 6th, 2020, at 10:00 A.M. Eastern Time. Today on the call, we have Mr. Sean Roosen, Chair of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of Osisko Gold Royalties, Mr. Sandeep Singh, President of Osisko Gold Royalties, and Mr. Frédéric Ruel, Chief Financial Officer and Vice President, Finance. I'd now like to turn the meeting over to our host for today's call, Mr. Sean Roosen. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence des résultats du deuxième trimestre de l'année 2020 de Redevances Aurifères Osisko Limited. Après la présentation, nous procéderons à une séance de questions et réponses. Si vous désirez poser une question, veuillez décrocher le combiné du téléphone et appuyer sur la touche étoile suivie du numéro un. Veuillez prendre note que cet appel est enregistré aujourd'hui, le 6 août 2020, à 10:00 A.M. de l'Est. Nous avons sur l'appel d'aujourd'hui Monsieur Sean Roosen, Président du Conseil d'administration et Chef de la Direction de Redevances Aurifères Osisko, Monsieur Sandeep Singh, Président de Redevances Aurifères Osisko, et Monsieur Frédéric Ruel, Chef de la Direction financière et Vice-président Finance. J'aimerais maintenant céder la parole à votre hôte, Monsieur Sean Roosen.
Merci beaucoup et bienvenue à notre appel conférencial le deuxième trimestre d'Osisko. Pour tout le monde qui est sur la ligne, on va suivre le PowerPoint qui se trouve sur notre site web qui est nommé le deuxième trimestre 2020 pour Osisko. Je demande à tout le monde, point de vue de Q&A, posez-nous des questions en français, il n'y a pas de problème. Et on va s'avancer aujourd'hui avec les annonces plus ou moins en règle avec ce que vous avez souhaité, j'espère, pour toute cette situation qui existe. Et je souhaite très bonne santé à tous nos partenaires. Dans un temps difficile, on va être sûr et certain que nous, comme Osisko, on a essayé d'être un leader point de vue de l'aspect santé ici dans le secteur. Et on avance avec tous nos projets, notre partenaire, avec toutes les conséquences qui existent dans la situation de santé actuelle. Et on est en train d'avancer les projets avec tout le respect de tout le monde pour voir tout ce qui nous vient avec COVID-19. And I'll switch to English now. And just to recap what I had said, you know, we really are trying to make sure that we are the best partners out there for COVID-19 for both of our operators, our employees, and our investors. We've taken a lot of steps and tried to be a leader in terms of how things should be done and can be done during this pandemic. We've, you know, we've taken a very strong position in terms of supporting all of our operators and to do the best we can to take care of all of our associated partners, employees, and families that are associated with us and those in the greater good of our society as we go through this pandemic. I'll start off with a, you know, a basic recap of the business. I don't want to lose sight of where we are in this pandemic, but we did produce 12,386 GEOs in the quarter. We had $228.7 million of revenues and royalties from our products that we're invested in. Cash flow from operating activities was at $15.4 million. Net earnings at $13 million with about $0.08 per share. Adjusted earnings of $5.7 million after several payments, including dividends. We withdrew production guidance due to COVID-19 in Q2. We are back now guiding to about 63,000-65,000 ounces a year, and for the first half of the year, somewhere between from  33,000-35,000 ounces as the mines come back online. We also did a financing in the second quarter of $85 million with Investissement Québec, and really thank the government of Quebec and Investissement Quebec for having partnered up with us during a hard time. It was more, you know, sort of a vote of confidence, I think, from our partners at Investissement Quebec to really to come in and bolster our balance sheet in a time when things were unclear. And obviously, we have a lot of commitments in Quebec and in partnerships with Investissement Quebec. So this makes great sense for us to continue to have our partners invest in us and with us as we move forward. We also improved the silver stream from Gibraltar, having paid $8.5 million to transfer price to go from $2.75 an ounce in transfer cost down to zero. So we basically had a royalty status on that silver stream, which I think is an exceptional asset to achieve during this market where we see a lot of competition for royalties and streams. So it's, you know, hats off to the team for getting the deal done, and obviously a big vote of confidence from our partners at Gibraltar, and Taseko in terms of their confidence to choose us as a partner on that deal as we go forward. Also, we saw the commercial production declaration from Victoria Gold. Obviously, a huge milestone for us. We have a 5% top line royalty on that project. I'd like to congratulate John McConnell and the whole team at Victoria for just, you know, exceptional mine build. Just getting that project going during a time when we faced a couple of cold winters. And we saw the thing through, and John and his team are building Canada's next best gold mine, and it was the largest gold mine ever built in the Yukon. And heading for 200,000 ounces a year plus of production, and just an exceptional outcome on that project with our partners from Orion Mine Finance and ourselves having led the charge to get the project financed back in 2018 and 19 when everybody else was hiding under the bed. We were able to get that project financed, and John's management team deserves a huge kudos and hats off for the work that they did there to make that project work the way it is working now. And obviously hitting a premium gold market, it couldn't have been smarter and it couldn't have been better. So that's the way we see it. In terms of our COVID-19 results, I mean, obviously Osisko really hasn't had a big impact on us in terms of, you know, what has been for other industries, and we're quite humble about taking advantage of the situation. But the price of gold has gone through the roof, and our partners continue to operate at a very good pace, and we see a lot of things positive happening in the gold space in terms of the projects that we're involved in as we go forward. We declared a 5 cent dividend in as of July 15th, 2020. So that continues to be a leading dividend in the gold space. Subsequent to the Q2 results, we are looking for 33 to 35,000 ounces of GEOs in the second quarter. Obviously, at this gold price, anything that's not pure gold is taking a back seat in terms of GEOs. On an equivalent basis, so we're definitely seeing revenues increase based on the pure gold assets in a proportionate basis to other assets. I'll move on right now to page 12, and I'm going to hand it over to Fred to take that through, if we could, please.
Good morning, everyone. As previously noted by Sean, our deliveries of precious metals were affected by the COVID impact in Q2. Several of our operating counterparties have announced temporary operational restrictions due to the COVID-19 pandemic, including reduced activities and operations placed on care and maintenance. As of today, most operators have restarted their activities and have reached or are expected to reach their pre-COVID level of operation in the near term. The strong gold price helped offset the reduction in the GEOs earned during the second quarter, which should lead us to a great second half of the year, both in terms of cash margins and cash flows. If we go to page 5 of the presentation, revenues from royalties and streams amounted to $28.7 million compared to $33.8 million in Q2 2019. Cash flows from operating activities were $15.4 million compared to $21.4 million last year. Excluding the impact of the changes in non-cash working capital items, operating cash flows were $18.6 million compared to $23.5 million. On page 6, we show a breakdown of our cash margin for Q2 and year-to-date. The cash margin on our royalties decreased by $3 million to $20.7 million in Q2. For the first half of the year, the cash margin on royalties reached $46.4 million, less than $1 million lower than in 2019, despite the COVID impact on our deliveries, due to the strong gold prices, which offset the lower revenue. The cash margin on our streams was $6.4 million in Q2, similar to 2019, and $15.4 million for the first half of the year, which was $3.2 million higher than last year, resulting in a cash margin on our royalties and streams of 95% in Q2 of this year, compared to 90% in Q2 of last year. Our total cash margin reached $27.8 million in Q2, including $0.6 million from our offtake agreements, $3.7 million lower than in 2019. Year-to-date, our total cash margin was $63.1 million, an increase of $1 million. On page 7, we present a summary of our earnings and adjusted earnings. Net income was $13 million in Q2, 8 cents per share, compared to a net loss of $6.5 million in Q2 2019, or 5 cents per share. Adjusted earnings were $5.7 million, or 3 cents per share, compared to $8.2 million, or 5 cents per share last year. We can go on page 8 of the presentation, where we have a summary of our results for Q2 and year-to-date. GEOs from gold production were lower this year, partly due to the sale of the Bruce Jack offtake in 2019 and, of course, the impact of COVID. The decrease in our total revenues from $132 million to $41 million was also due to the sale of the Bruce Jack offtake, as well as lower deliveries as a result of the COVID pandemic. But this was partially offset by a higher realized price on our gold. Our average gold price per ounce sold amounted to $2,363 Canadian in Q2 of this year, compared to $1,766 Canadian in Q2 of last year. Gross profit for Q2 was relatively flat at $19.1 million compared to $19.7 million in 2019. On page 9, you find a summary of our financial position. Our cash balance at the end of Q2 was over $200 million. Our debt amounted to $422 million, which includes the drawdown of $50 million done in March on the revolving credit facility as a cautionary measure. Our net debt amounted to, at the end of Q2, $220 million. If we include the $100 million accordion available under our credit facility, the total facility available is over $400 million at the end of June, which places Osisko in a very good position to deploy its capital. In addition, our equity investment portfolio is currently valued at over $300 million for a total firepower of over $900 million. On page 10, you may find our updated guidance for the second half of the year. As you know, after withdrawing our guidance for the year in March due to the uncertainties related to the pandemic, we have now reissued our new guidance. We expect GEOs of between 33,000 to 35,000 in the second half of the year, with a cash margin on our royalties and streams of 95% for an annual updated guidance of 63,500 ounces to 65,500 ounces. It's good to note that Q3 will be slightly impacted, again, by the reduced mining activities. In Q2, as some of our royalties are delivered with a delay of 1 to 3 months. We expect the situation to be fully back to normal in Q4 to benefit from this exceptional gold price environment. Back to you, Sean.
Thank you very much, Fred. And, I just wanted to give a snapshot of your company. The shareholders own this company, and things are going exceptionally well. I think in terms of where we are from an asset standpoint, obviously from a share performance standpoint, we have some ground to make up, but the fundamentals of the company remain exceptionally solid in a space that's very difficult. In the next slide, we'll show you the quality of our portfolio, over 135 royalties and streams, precious metal offtakes, diversified cash flow from 16 producing assets, 91% going to 95% cash flow operating margins in terms of, you know, most of our assets are in royalties, so we don't have margin compression the way that others do. And that sort of, I think, distinguishes the portfolio from a lot of other things. It is a dominantly royalty portfolio as opposed to a streaming portfolio. Page 12, you know, quality of investments. I mean, we've done a lot in terms of making sure that we had quality. And our dividend sits at 1.5%, which is the best in the space. As you can see here, Wheaton and Royal and Franco are all 1% or less, whereas we're at 1.5%. So, you know, we do offer, you know, kind of a wait and see attitude, and I think obviously an increased gold price, we have a leverage to a significant amount of growth assets in our portfolio. As we always said, we were a strong growth company with our accelerator model. So we're well leveraged to take advantage of this gold price as we move further into it. You know, a significant undervalued amount there in terms of the re-rate. It's surprising to me that we haven't seen the re-rate yet, but for those who come in now, I think that the re-rate is fairly imminent as this gold price persists and we see what the actual upside of Osisko can be here. In terms of our trading, we've been highly liquid stock at over $18.5 million a day. The balance sheet, over $202 million of cash on the balance sheet, over $900 million of finance capacity if you include our available debt capacity and our equity book. We sit with one of the biggest dry powder capabilities of all the royalty companies in the world right now. It's over 900 million Canadian in available firepower to get going on a new transaction. We do think that there are some transactions that will happen at this price level. However, we've obviously built our portfolio in the past, so even if nothing were to happen, we see quite a bit of opportunity for us. And if you look forward to page 13, you see that we go for about 140,000 ounces of GEOs just on our organic growth of things that our shareholders have already financed and paid for. So we have the organic growth. We don't have to reach. We don't have to stretch. And we don't have to pay premiums that we've seen people paying in the space, you know, that are quite high in terms of achieving assets. All we really have to do is just sit back and harvest right now. Page 14, I think, is probably the most exciting slide of this entire presentation today in terms of things that we knew about when we sold Canadian Malartic back in 2014 that are now being documented and drilled to resource and reserve level by our partners at Agnico and Yamada. Congratulations to them on a great job in terms of, you know, transitioning this project from what we always knew was a great open pit mine to what it looks like it may be one of the best ever underground gold mines. This is quite an exceptional deposit. It produced 8 million ounces by the time we got there in 2003. We documented another plus 8 million ounces in the open pit, and now there's another 10 million ounces in the underground. You know, so this is ranked as one of the best gold deposits ever discovered in the world, and it continues to deliver value for both the, you know, Agnico and Yamana shareholders and also the Osisko shareholders. And we congratulate them on a job well done, and we look forward to seeing the underground start to deliver here. We haven't really seen it calculated in our share price, but we think it's high time that that everybody understands that the Malartic Underground is a significant contributor to Osisko Gold Royalties as we move forward. And, you know, we wish our partners well on that, and we want to see it come forward. And if you see, look at page 18, you can see that the dominantly things that are important to the new mine plan are on the Osisko 5% ground as we move forward. And we see some of the other assets, you know, that are there, you know, continue to contribute that really weren't in the calculation, I don't think, for Osisko. So that's all good news for Osisko shareholders, and you know, we look forward to seeing the evolution of that mine, the underground transition. Obviously, at these gold prices, I think that everybody being incentivized to move forward quickly. The next slide that we have here shows the Eagle project, obviously, you know, on target for ramping up to 220,000 ounces a year, for which we have a 5% royalty on. We continue to be you know, have a size scale royalty on our Eleanor mine in Quebec, and Mantos has been seeing an increase as well. And congratulations to John Brzezinski and the Osisko mining team in terms of the success that they've enjoyed at Windfall Lake in Quebec with, you know, just a massive discovery there with over 5 million ounces of high-grade ounces at plus 8 grams. And continue to drill there with over 30 drills on site as we speak today. So, you know, just a knock it out of the park success there. The Osisko Gold Royalty shareholders, this is obviously, you know, shows why our accelerator model is important. You know, we backed John at the very beginning of this process, and we were able to achieve, you know, exceptional numbers in terms of what we ended up paying for the royalty, but the reality is we took the risk early on, and our model, I think, is, you know, proven beyond a shadow of a doubt by Windfall and Hermosa, where we've taken these risks and these bets early on, and we just had exceptional returns, and they're so much better than anybody else's royalty and streaming deals in the space that it's hard to argue that that we wouldn't want to continue on with that business. With the returns on some of these deals being in the thousands of percent as opposed to the 1% or 2% returns that we're seeing currently go off in the bank run processes for, you know, there's a lot of bidding going on, but not much is being accomplished in terms of net returns. So, you know, we continue to believe in that model, and the accelerator model, you know, is demonstrated well here, I think, by both Windfall and Hermosa. Horne 5 continues to be a significant asset that's in our portfolio. It's been undervalued. It's currently at 6 million ounces of GEOs in reserves, not in resources. And then on to Caribou, which has been a, you know, sort of a controversial topic within the Osisko portfolio. Our last resource update was at 4.4 million ounces. There will be an upcoming resource update. And this is a mining project. This is a mining camp. And we're going to give you more information on that as we get further into the year. But I can tell you that things are going extremely well at Caribou, and the drill results are starting to build a case to confirm what we always believe, which is this is not just a mining project, but it's a mining camp. On to page 15, you know, we do have a high exposure to the gold prices. You know, we believe in terms of royalty and streaming companies that we are the purest of them all in terms of being mostly exposed to gold. A lot of other companies are sidebar to copper mines or polymetallic mines, or they have other ingredients in their cake that make them a little bit less exposed to gold. So we continue to be proud champions of the highest gold component in the space with 81% at our standings. On page 20, you know, the business plan for Osisko hasn't changed since 2014. We were allocating 25% to our earlier stage accelerating models and to the things like Caribou, and 75% to our sort of last money in strategy, where we're bidding on things like we did with Victoria Gold. The plan hasn't changed too much, and I realize there's been a discount on the stock because of of our hybrid strategy. But at the end of the day, when I look around the gold price today, I have to think that we were pretty much right on the money in terms of what we bet on. And you know, we need to deliver those returns in the share price now. So that will be the challenge for the management team as we go forward into the fourth quarter. And as we see the summer end, is to really bring it home that the hybrid model, where we put that 25% of the accelerator companies, and we've seen some of these accelerator companies like Barkerville advance through the accelerator business into the development business, and we need to take advantage of that for our shareholders. So that will be the challenge for Sandeep and myself as we come into the end of the year, is to really make sure that we transition that valuation that we created there into the share price. In terms of opportunities, you know, we've looked at our accelerator model and we've created quite a bit of value here. I just wanted to recap for shareholders the things that we did do. You know, the incubation of Osisko Mining happened in 2015. It was at $8 million market cap. It is now $1.3 to $1.4 billion market cap. We did Osisko Metals with our friend Bob Wares. You know, that started out as a $5, $6 million market cap. It's now $70, $80 million. Falco Resources. We started that company out in 2015, really. Luke Lessard stepped in and really put the meat on the bones in terms of that project. It's trading at about $100 million right now, but it certainly can be bigger than that. Talisker Resources, led by Terry Harbert. You know, really another brownfield camp in BC that's sort of seen the light of day and benefited from the tactical and structural geology that that Terry brought to the team, you know, to really advance that project forward. Mineral Alamos, we saw that company go from $13 million market cap to currently $230 million. So even if you've only invested in the sidecar companies to Osisko, you've done pretty well. And we continue to be that incubation and that source of really hardcore grinder incubation companies, where we take an opinion on an asset, we take it and we build it, and we, you know, we get in there early and we work it hard. And that, you know, people like Chris Loader and Ruben Padilla and Terry Harbert and Bob Wares and John Brzezinski, they all bring that extra effort and that extra, you know, personality and character to these assets that we've been able to uncover as we move forward. And I'm pretty proud of what we've done in the incubation strategy. So on the final slide here today, we have the upside, we have the opportunity, and we have a team, and we have the ability to acquire assets, to mobilize those assets and take them through to fruition. And you know, I thank everybody for supporting us as a Osisko shareholder. We look forward to bringing you to the latest fold, and you know, obviously Caribou will be a big part of the story as we get into the rest of the year. But also, you know, what John is doing with Osisko Mining, Terry is doing with Talisker, and Bob is doing with Osisko Metals are pretty important parts of our story as we go forward. So I'd like to thank everybody for in today, and we'll see how to get to, but we don't think that that there's anything wrong here. If ever there has been a time when we are right, this is it now. So thanks to everybody, and I'll turn it over for Q&A.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Pour poser une question, vous devez appuyer sur l'étoile suivie par un sur votre téléphone. Your first question comes from George Topping from Industrial Alliance. Your line is open.
Great. Thanks, operator. Hey, Sean, Sandeep, and everybody else. On the Caribou Gold Project, Sean, are you back up and running at full speed there on the exploration and reclamation activities, et cetera? Hello? Hello?
Oh, one moment, please.
Hi, George. I think I hear you. I don't know if we lost Sean there for a moment or if he's on mute, but I'll start the answer. Hopefully he's right behind me. But yeah, good morning, George. Yeah, things are generally back up and running. We did take a bit of a hiatus to make sure that we had the least amount of footprint during kind of the pandemic. So generally speaking, we slowed things down, and in the near term, we'll be looking to kind of get back going to full steam with respect to exploration and some of the small remedial work that we're still doing there to clean up past sites.
So are you still going to spend the $10 million for this year, you think? It's in the MD&A.
Look, I think there's certainly the ability to catch that back up. You know, I think, as I said, it made sense to take a bit of a hiatus just to make sure that we are protecting our employees and the community, most importantly. And you know, there's certainly the ability to catch that back up over the next two quarters.
Well, let's roll through to the permitting as well, with the government being impacted.
Sorry, George, did you say whether there was an impact on the permitting from COVID?
On the permitting schedule?
Yeah, not as of yet. I mean, I think there's been enough buffer and redundancies in our permitting schedule that we can absorb kind of what's happened in the near term. You know, our team has continued to work, whereas we weren't necessarily full steam at site. We've certainly been full steam ahead on the permitting side. As you can imagine, a lot of that is desktop work and engagement. So that's all been ongoing, you know, as fast as we can get it moving. So I don't think we've really suffered any delays from that perspective as of yet.
Right.
And again, I think if anything, we had the ability to fast track permitting. The community, the First Nations, the government have all been very supportive, and we look to kind of continue that with them. And as long as we keep acting responsibly, we think we have the opportunity to make up ground, not necessarily lose it.
All right. Then a second question is the diamond market. I'm interested in what you're seeing there with respect to diamond sales and pricing, obviously, for the Renard diamonds.
Yeah, obviously Renard remains on care and maintenance. You know, the diamond market was completely busted to this COVID piece. We're starting to see signs of life just broadly on the diamond side. There are more sales kind of coming about. Some have already transpired. We've seen a small uptick on that side, but I think it's fair to say that we're not out of the woods there from a diamond price perspective, nor is anyone in the sector. But we have seen some moderate improvement. I think from a retail perspective, again, we're not back to pre-COVID levels, but there are positive signs out there that things are returning to normal, if you will. And so I think we'll be cautious and we'll look to see some moderate improvement. But there are, you know, we've got a very sound partnership that's involved with the Renard mine. It is a good mine. There's $1 billion of good infrastructure that was spent there. It's really just missing a little bit of joy from a diamond market perspective, but we certainly hope, you know, the guidance we put out today does not reflect Renard, just given the continued uncertainty from a diamond price perspective, but we certainly hope that that Renard will come back into the fold for us, and I think the partnership is working on ways to do that going forward.
The commodity specialists that you speak to, are they predicting a price in, say, the next 12 months or so at a level where you might reopen the runoff?
Yeah, look, I think there's certainly that ability. You know, I think, you know, remains to be seen. You know, obviously it's not the least opaque market to have to operate within from a pricing perspective. I think the sales that are coming up now, some of the ones that have already happened, some of the ones that are coming up soon will be pretty telling. You can imagine we're keeping a close eye on that. In the meantime, I think the mine has been doing everything they can to bring their own cost structure down so that they can bridge that gap, not necessarily through diamond prices, but also through just being more efficient at everything we do. So, look, I think, as I said, a lot remains to be seen there, but we are cautiously optimistic that with just a little bit of improvement on the diamond side, there might be a restart there in our future.
And George, maybe I'll just add a little bit of color to that. You know, as you and I know, we've been around for a while. It's never as good or as bad as everybody likes to think it is. And I think the diamond market, we're seeing a lot of sort of smart people are going back and doing assets in the diamond space. So cautiously optimistic all the way around on the diamonds.
All right, great. I'll pass it on. I've taken enough time. Thank you.
Your next question comes from John Tumazos from Very Independent Research. Your line is open.
Thank you. Congratulations on the better price environment. Maybe people will understand and embrace the incubator model now. I'm trying to throw you a creep.
Well, John, we certainly hope your enthusiasm is shared.
I'm trying to throw you a cream puff without being too difficult. Maybe people don't understand the value of Caribou or how smart it was to buy Barkerville late last year. What is the highest offer you've turned down for Caribou? Or what is the lowest you'd sell it for? It looks like it's a big paycheck.
Geez, John, you're putting me on the spot on a lot of fronts here, but I will say that, you know, Caribou has continued to deliver, not just, you know, obviously from the gold price change, but we've had significant success at the drill bit on that project, and we're going to be coming back to the market to tell you about that here in the next short while. But obviously, we bought a 4.6 million ounce deposit at $1,300 gold, and we're now dealing with $2,000 gold. So, you know, we don't claim that we're too smart, but we're smart enough to recognize that this was an asset unlike others. It's not just a mine deposit that we've identified. It's, you know, the overall resource that we're dealing with there is only in the first 4 kilometers, and we have 83 kilometers to deal with. So we kind of feel that, we had to take the hit that we took, and there was a lot of punishment was dealt on the share price for that. But, hopefully we'll see some reward as we come back and we demonstrate the strength of this asset and the fact that it's not just a deposit, but it's actually a mining camp. So, you know, we've got our work to do, John, and we've said no to quite a few corporates, and there's a lot of, you know, discussion around it because the number of deposits that can actually go to 5 million ounces of mineable in the world is quite slim, and Barkerville is a camp, and we see upside there, you know, a single process facility with multiple mines up and down the trend as we get forward onto it. And we'll be a little more vocal about it as we come into Q3 and Q4, John, and, you know, appreciate your view and the fact that you've done the work to go and look at what Barkerville actually is.
Do you think it's reasonable to expect the payday to be over U.S. $500 million with the first $500 million tax shielded?
I don't like to put numbers like that out there without having a lawyer and accountant sign off on them, John, but certainly, you know, we see here in the PA study that we did last year, a couple hundred thousand ounces a year, with all in sustaining costs being below 800, sort of in the mid, you know, high 700s. This thing is worth a ton of money. So.
Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you, John.
Your next question comes from Kerry Smith from Haywood Securities. Your line is open.
Thanks, operator. Sean or Sandeep, just on Caribou, you were going to provide an update sometime later this year on that asset. Will the resource update come as part of that disclosure, or is that going to come out earlier?
You know, Kerry, I think where we are on it right now is that everybody's been so negative on the asset, we've been a little hesitant to get out there, but our work is being done, and we're going from 4 to 10 drills on the project as we speak. And as we get more comfort in terms of delivering not just a resource update, but a reserve update, we'll come back to you. But, you know, I would suspect it to be in Q4.
Okay, so it'll all come at the same time then. Okay, that's great. Thank you, Sean.
Terry, we're going to deliver a bulletproof resource and reserve to you. We don't really want anybody else poking at this thing. We know the asset's solid, and we just want to make sure that we deliver the proper product.
Okay, I got you. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one. Your next question comes from Jeremy Hoy from Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I think a lot of my questions have been answered. Actually, they were all surrounding Caribou and Barkerville, just related to next steps in the back half of the year. You guys have a resource and reserve update coming. Anything else going on with that project? You mentioned increased exploration as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Loader and Maggie have taken it amongst themselves to go out and get us 28 new drill targets. So we will be hitting those targets on a priority basis outside of our infill drilling. And, yeah, it's been very exciting times at Barkerville. And, you know, I hope that everybody will be impressed when we come forth with the information. But, you know, given the reaction we've had at Barkerville in the past, we're not going to come out until we actually have a final product for you. So, it will be fourth quarter information, and we will make sure that everything is drilled beyond the shadow of a doubt before we show it to anybody, just based on, you know, previous reactions to that asset in terms of where it sits. We think that metallurgically, mining-wise, permit-wise, that we've been able to de-risk the asset significantly, but we're going to come forth at the same time with that information, probably more into Q4.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one. Your next question comes from Adrian Day from Asset Management. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, just a quick question. Listen, I may have missed it completely, but with the Malartic Underground, did you in the end have to make any concessions on the royalty?
Adrian, thank you for the question. The answer is no. You know, the question that was being served up in the marketplace to shareholders previously was whether you know the royalty was making as much money as the rest of the mining group was at $1,200 or $1,300 gold price. I think that discussion has ended. We're obviously well north of $1,200 to $1,300 gold. We have no intention to make any concessions now, and there's been a bit of a discount on the Osisko share price, anticipating that that we would be making a concession on that royalty, but we have no intentions to do so. And obviously at $2,000 gold, it's not really even a relevant discussion that we would entertain.
Super. Thank you. Thank you.
We have no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to the presenters for their closing remarks.
So I'd like to thank everybody on the call today, and you know, we appreciate it. Osisko has been a growth company, and we've had the lumps and bruises going through the marketplace as we built out that growth portfolio. But obviously, I think that multiplied by the current commodity price, that the risks that we took in building this portfolio over the last 5 years is paying off for us now. And I encourage Osisko shareholders to be loud and proud about their persistence and their participation with us as we went through this asset building program. And I'll sign off there. Thanks, everybody.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Cela conclut la conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.